from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. This is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. Welcome. Hey, do you remember that old catchphrase? Not only that, but you get a free set of steak knives. Well, we all love a bit of merchandising, don't we? Lifestyle brand, they call it in the day, in the advertising circles. So what about those fancy car giveaways this week in 30 Laps? How about that Porsche ice tray? Or that saddle from Maserati? Seriously, a saddle. A whole saddle. No horse, but hey, it's a start. We'll also look at June buggy royalty this week, an obituary, and driverless buses in Malaga. Olé! Add to that a Hummer that joins the army, and if we have time, you may be old enough to remember KTEL. Well, we are hooked on classics. Yep, 10 bad classics. Classic cars, that is, that we all still love. All this week on 30 Laps. So, let's get cracking. From Emma Nota Francesco from drive.com.au, and she writes on the 9th of March, car brands have long been known to sell T-shirts, keyrings, even mugs. We know a few mugs that have bought a few cars, but that's not what we're talking about today. If you're lucky enough, you might get a jacket to take home with your BMW. But many have taken this concept further and expanded. They aren't just known in the automobile industry, but they are also known as lifestyle brands. Here are some of the random items from car brands that you might not have known about. How about the Tesla surfboard? It's no surprise Elon Musk wants to conquer the lifestyle realm too. The Tesla surfboard, just like his cars, represents true minimalizer. It's small. These are limited edition boards and retail for $1,950. Who said anything about a giveaway? Minimalism is the word I was looking for. The Bentley jewellery box. Because who doesn't need a Bentley branded jewellery box to stash those jewels in? This leather case crafted in Italy will set you back about $1,400. The Citroën motion glasses. You've got to hand it to Citroën for quirkiness and creativity. These glasses were created by the brand to eliminate motion sickness. It's called the Citroën, and it can be picked up for approximately $150. A Porsche ice tray. Now here's a must. This is part of the Porsche driver's selection on its website, with other items that include office chairs, champagne coolers, just to name a few. The silicon ice cube tray with 911 Carrera design costs $23. A bargain. The Maserati horse saddle. Other than fast cars, Maserati builds many other things, including bicycles and pop-up suites. If those weren't enough, if you've teamed up with polo equipment manufacturer La Mantina to produce a bespoke horse saddle. Price on application. Just like the car. A Ferrari chess set. Ferrari isn't short on merchandise, from luggage to pencils and very fancy cars for kids. The good news is that it's produced a quality chess set made from carbon fibre. The bad news is, like most things Ferrari, it'll cost you with a price tag of approximately $3,000. A Porsche dog and lead collar. forget about Hermès and Louis Vuitton when you can have your dog in Porsche. They are simple, but hey, they are Porsche branded. The collar sells for $80, the lead for $100. Can't let this go without mentioning the Audi tent. Audi has a very luxury range of luggage, watches and sunglasses. We really rate its range of camping tents though, and this one in particular, which is specifically made for the Q3, and its price, again, price on application. You get the drift, hey? If you've got the money to buy one of these beauties, then a horse saddle to sling in the back is probably, I don't know, short change, I guess. Thank you to Emma Notafrancesco from drive.com.au from the 23rd of March this year. If you had that kind of money, you could go to Ohio and sniffs the lilacs. I can reliably inform you that that was called All the Lilacs in Idaho. Ohio, I beg your pardon. I've got my O states all mixed up today. However, we go to an obituary now, an RIP for Bruce Myers, 1926 to 2021. And this was written by Mick Walsh for the Classic and Sports Cars online magazine on the 22nd of February this year. Who the heck is he? Stick around and I'll tell you. The granddaddy of the beach buggy and a key instigator of the desert racing scene along the Baja Peninsula died on the 19th of February in his home in California, aged 94. Bruce Myers was a remarkable polymath with a wide range of talents and achievements way beyond the cult off-roader dune buggy. Musician, sailor, artist, surfer, and engineer, Myers' many skills stemmed from his parents' diverse careers. His father was an engineer with Ford, who set up the Model T dealerships on the west coast of the United States, while his mother once performed on Broadway. After his brother drowned at an early age, Myers was forbidden in Germany and forbidden in the United States from water sports. But rebelling against his parents, he became a lifeguard during Navy service in World War II. Meyer was a gunner on the USS Bunker Hill aircraft carrier, and when the ship was attacked in Okinawa by kamikaze fighters, he valiantly swam through the flaming oil slick to save his comrades. In peacetime, sailing became an escapist passion, including trips to the Cook Islands in a training schooner before Myers settled down in Southern California. To build glass fiber boats at Jensen Marine, where he acquired the skills that would help him develop his innovative beach buggy. Keen surfer, Myers first converted a VW camper nicknamed Little Red Riding Bus to get across the sandy terrain. And on one trip to Pismo Beach, he was taken by a group of crude dune buggies pounding around the sand. After developing his bus in 1962, he focused on building his own Beetle-based buggy in his home garage in Newport Beach. The buggy was shaped in wood and plaster, from which he created a stressed glass fibre monocoque. Clever features included a 14-gallon moulded in-rear fuel tank and top flat-topped front wings to steady the drinks. He's got it all worked out, this guy. The first body was moulded in May 1964 and it attracted attention everywhere it went. friends at Road and Track magazine dubbed it the Myers Manix and encouraged him to start production. Working nights in his garage, the legendary business was born, and demand soon rocketed, forcing Myers to simplify the design to incorporate the Beetle platform. That's the VW Beetle, folks. But his lack of business experience led to the innovative design being copied all over the world. Myers also triggered interest in off-road racing when in April 67, he beat the motorcycle record from La Paz to Tijuana by 5 hours in one of his own designs. Although a key figure in the launch of the Baja 1000, where his buggies won, Myers failed to finish the classic and stopped racing in 1968 after fracturing both legs in a major accident. In recent years, this popular character restored his original prototype buggy, Old Red, with which his wife, Winnie, he drove to all events all over California. In 2014, a special beach buggy class honoured its jubilee year at the Amelia Island Concourse, and Old Red has become the only second car to enter the historic America Engineering record of the Library of Congress. Interesting fellow, hey? So every time you see a beach buggy, and we don't see too many of them these days because they're inherently unsafe except when you're in the dunes, think of Bruce Myers, who died in February of this year, age 94. I bet old Brucey boy smelled a few lilacs in Ohio in his time. Let's see what else is blowing in the window this week. I'll just check the back seat. Hang on just a second. Oh, that's right. How about this? From The Guardian on the 26th of February, written by Associated Press, driverless electric bus hits the road in the Spanish city of Malaga. Self-driving vehicle can interact with traffic lights and is the first project of its kind in Europe. Let's check this out. A new driverless electric bus has begun operating in the southern Spanish city of Malaga, and the first such project in Europe. The bus, which has been running on Saturday, well, I think that should be Saturdays, is equipped with sensors and cameras and links Malaga's port to the city centre, an 8-kilometre, 5-mile loop it does 6 times a day. The bus knows at all times where it is and what it's around it, says Rafael Durbin Camona, who heads up the southern division of Spanish transport company Envanza, which leads the public-private consortium behind the project. It could interact with traffic lights that were also equipped with sensors that alert the bus when they turn red, he told Agence France-Presse. Sounds like a red wine, doesn't it? The bus now uses artificial intelligence to improve its decisions based on data recorded along the way. The 12-metre, 39-foot in the old language, vehicle, which looks like a normal bus, can carry 60 passengers and was developed by the Spanish company Ariza. Other driverless pilot projects already exist in Europe, but none of them have involved a regular-sized urban bus that runs on normal streets with other vehicles. Despite the advanced technology, there is a driver at the wheel to take control if necessary, since Spanish law does not currently allow vehicles to operate without them. Fair enough, too. We put it in automatic mode and it runs completely autonomously, says Cristobal Mondalado, the driver. The project received funding. It should receive funding just because of her name, I reckon. What a great name. It's received funding from the Spanish government and is coordinated with several universities. Last month, Singapore launched as well a single self-driving bus trial with passengers booking through an app and the bus taking them around Singapore's Science Park, a high-tech business hub, during off-peak hours. China has also tested driverless taxis in several cities. An Uber self-driving car hit and killed a woman crossing the street in the United States in 2018 in what is believed to be the first death involving an autonomous vehicle. Lack of regulation and concerns over safety on the part of the general public are two factors often cited by experts that stand in the way of proliferation of driverless cars. How about that, hey? From the Associated Press in France and published in The Guardian on the 26th of February this year, driverless electric cars hits the road in Malaga. We're all over the place today. How about this one from driven.co.nz? Kia reveals Hummer-like all-terrain vehicle for military use. And this came to us from news.com.au. It's an editorial piece and it's unattributed. Kia has unleashed an army truck designed for the world's harshest environments, and it looks like a modern-day Hummer. Revealed at the 2021 International Defence Exhibition and Conference in the Middle East, the light tactical cargo truck is a four-seat concept developed in conjunction with the Korean Defence Acquisition Program Administration. Now, there's a mouthful. As well as military must-haves, such as run-flat tyres, the LTCT gets the luxury of air conditioning and independent suspension, a rarity of vehicles designed for ruggedness and hardcore off-road, and even gets an electronic magnetic interference system, which could be exactly what the Australian police have been looking for to stop people using their mobile phones while driving. With it emphasis on military service, the LTCT still manages to vaguely showcase the shark nose grille used on Kia passenger vehicles, albeit with added toughness. While it lacks the bonnet-mounted helicopter hooks of the real Hummer, a brand being radically born again as an EV brand by owner General Motors, the LTCT gets plenty of visual muscle thanks to the angular edges of the utilitarian flavour capped off with exposed door hinges, exterior handles that allows troops to hang on or climb onto the roof. Hang on, we're going through a rough patch. Three windscreen wipers sweep the slim front glass that looks as though it could be bulletproof. The LTCT can be manufactured in armoured and unarmoured guises. Our petition at IDEX 2021 is an opportunity to promote Kia's latest developments in the design of future defence vehicles, says Aikatai Kim, Vice President of Kia's Special Vehicle Division. The LTCT can be built in different lengths, with varying additions to its body depending on what the military has in mind. It also has 3-ton payload on top of its ability to carry 10 troops in the back. Both concepts on display have been developed to be highly flexible and durable, with the capability to be used in some of the world's harshest environments. The LTCT is a radical departure for the Korean brand that has undergone a sales boom in recent years. Kia is best known for its budget-priced city cars, affordable SUVs, and the Carnival people mover that swallowed the once popular Tarago in its charge up the sales charts. Not that Kia is new to military vehicles. In 2013, it designed a first light technical vehicle that eventually went into service with the South Korean Army in 2016. Clearly, it has aspirations of building the order books, stating it expects the added visual appeal of the LTCT and a usability to stimulate further demand for its military vehicles. How about that, hey? Originally published in drive.co.nz, this one was picked up from news.com.au and is unattributed in March of this year. Kia reveals Hummer-like all-terrain vehicle for military use. After a ride in one of those in a hot environment, you'd hope the tiki bar was open. Thank God the Yep. Thank God the tiki bar was open. But let's look at some KTL classics, shall we? While we've got some time. And this comes to us from Classic and Sports Car online magazine. 10 Bad Classics We All Still Love. It was written by Chris Rowland in February of this year. We may not get through all 10, but let's have a crack and see what they have got to say for themselves. Imperfect motors with modern appeal. Think that only the best cars are celebrated? No chance. While the greatest motors rightly get their plaudits, plenty of lemons have also sizable fan clubs today. From shonky iron curtain cars to British sports machines with suspect build quality, some of the history's least inspiring, most disappointing, and in some cases downright rubbish models have dedicated followings. More than that, a few have achieved full cult status. Sometimes precisely because they're so bad, and in other cases simply because they're old enough that nostalgia has turned their faults into characterful traits. Read on. Well, let's do that, hey? Let's start with this one because it was available in Australia, the Austin Allegro. Wildly regarded as one of the worst cars ever come out of Britain, the little Allegro was plagued by bad build quality, shocking reliability, and handling that could send you anywhere. Not to mention a woefully insufficient manufacturing process, but somehow it still sold well in the United Kingdom. What's more, after so many cars considered rubbish in their day, the Allegro has since become something of an icon. Probably because it was so bad. Just as the 2003 film The Room has risen to infamy for appalling production, so the Allegro, once voted the worst car of all time, is now something of a cult hit, seen almost affectionately at nostalgic distance. Yeah, you wouldn't want to get one, let alone go for a ride. You'd probably have to walk the rest of the way. Another old favourite, the Hillman Imp. Far from a failure on the road, the Hillman Imp was the Roots Group compact competitor to the Mini. It was also the first mass-produced car to pack an all-aluminium engine and carried advanced features and offered nimble handling. All of which makes its fate that much more galling. Rushed into production at a new factory in Scotland, reliability woes would severely tarnish its reputation at the time. Improvement ceased with the Chrysler takeover, and the Imp was considered history as far as the car could have been, but never really was. Small, cheap to run, and some enthusiasts would claim with the handling to rival a 911, the Imp was once become an understated icon, popular with those who can appreciate its value as a British rear-engine, rear-wheel-drive saloon ahead of its time. Its fans even argue to this day that it's better than the machine that went out to enjoy greater fame, the Mini. Well, a mate of mine had one of those, and he had it for 2 years, and we spent probably 8 months of each year under the back of the thing trying to get it to go. That was a long time ago, mind you. And we'll stick with England because we'll look at the Marina. Some of the most memorial cult classics have come from historic companies making the major missteps, and nowhere is it more true than with the Morris Marina. Designed and produced in just 18 months, it became a symbol for the cost-cutting, bodge-job nature of British Leyland, under which the mark was stabled. Based on components from the ageing Minor, the Marina was badly built and wonky wheels and windscreen wipers that went the wrong way. Probably because it represents everything that British Leyland did to harm the British motoring industry with its chronic mismanagement and poor quality control. Frequent industrial action by staff, the Marina paid for it. In all its malign glory, and has gone on to become something of a cult classic. Much as you can't blame a puppy for making a mess, so the marina can't really be held responsible for its own state of being. But it's still a byword for a terrible car. And we'll finish with this one because I want to do a whole episode on this particular vehicle at some stage in the near future, the Reliant Robin. Built from glass fibre and equipped with three wheels, the Reliant Robin, or Plastic Pig, to give it its proper title, wasn't technically a car. The featherweight three-wheeler actually qualified as a motorcycle, but that didn't eliminate its flaws. Regularly voted one of the worst cars ever, it didn't roll so much as you would believe, but it was underpowered, unreliable and shoddy. And if you were really unlucky, the steering wheel would come off in your hands. Still, the butt of so many derisive quips, the Robin has become a staple part of British culture, with appearances from Mr. Bean and Absolutely Fabulous to Jasper Carrot's jokes and that car show. While it was actually a Reliant Regal that appeared in Only Fools and Horses, all exposure has been served to cement the copy of the three-wheeled wagon's status as a cult classic. And there are still plenty around today. And we will visit that particular vehicle that appeared in Only Fools and Horses in an upcoming show to take it even further apart. That's about us just about out of time. So we got 7 out of the 10. Perhaps we'll have a look at a couple more in an upcoming show. They're worth it just for having a laugh. That was from Classic and Sports Car Online Magazine. And I think even our dear friend on the show, the DeLorean DMC, is mentioned, so we better have a look at that too. Thanks so much for your company today. I've really enjoyed bringing you the show. We've got a lot in our half an hour, been a few places, done a few things, had a few dodgy drives. I look forward to your company next week when we'll talk about something else not related to these subjects, as per normal. The show is written and produced in the Sydney studios of 2RPH for the 2RPH network. And until I talk to you next week, be safe. Bye for now.